This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. You're listening to Geek Speak. Support for Geek Speak on Katie and Kay comes from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected, 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louis the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good.
Good. Wow, summer's almost over. Can you believe it?
Yeah, it's just flying by.
It is flying by. Not missing the 100-plus temperatures, though, at all.
No, I'll take the rain's been fantastic.
Yeah, it's been very nice. So you got a great lead story here. And I got some stuff to pile onto it after you
all right.
Launch it.
So a hacker group known as USDOD posted a hacking forum that claims to have accessed 2.9 billion records stolen from a background checking company known as National Public Data.
So it was a private company that this was stolen from?
Yeah.
Those guys need to get in big trouble.
Yeah, looks like there's been a lawsuit filed in August. That happened April 8th, so there's now a lawsuit, and we'll see what happens. So,
okay. Now, at first you had said something about the 2.9 billion records include Social Security numbers. Is that correct?
Yeah, it includes name, Social Security address. So, like, you know, the pieces of information that you need to
steal
find
somebody's identity.
Yeah.
Great.
So, you know, if you have a credit card from one of the major vendors, most of them provide, you know, credit monitoring as part of the services along with their credit card. So, probably time to go in there and make sure that's set up and start monitoring your credit to make sure that people aren't trying to steal your identity.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess my question, and I'm not advocating for buying, you know, because they have they have these credit monitoring services that cost $9.99 a month or whatever. But, you know, I have that monitoring enabled on three of my different credit cards, and I think I'm signed up with Experian as well. But it always seems kind of after the fact to me, doesn't it?
You know? So the other side, you can choose from the three credit. You can contact the credit bureaus, and if you're not looking to establish new accounts, you can lock your credit.
Oh, okay.
So you can call them and put a lock on, and basically add a PIN, so that basically you have to contact the credit bureau and say, hey, I'm going to do a credit inquiry. Will you unlock my credit so that I can have this inquiry happen on it? Otherwise, it just gets rejected outright.
Okay, got it. Well, you know, I actually did know that there was like you could lock your credit, but I had kind of forgotten about that. So thanks for bringing it up again. And so if you are like, say you're applying for a loan to get a car, you have to call them first.
And contact them, unlock your...
You have to contact...
Give them the information that you previously set up, so make sure you put that somewhere safe.
Got it. Now, do you use that service? Do you have that?
No, I applied for a loan, and I literally said, apply for the loan, and by the time I walked from the place where I lined it to sit down on the couch behind them, my phone went off and said, there's a new loan. And then I was like, okay.
Cool. We got a phone call coming in.
You're on with the Geeks.
I just wanted to say that you're actually supposed to tell the credit companies you want to freeze your credit.
Freeze, okay. That's the right terminology?
Yeah, because if you say lock, they charge you.
Okay.
But to freeze your credit, it doesn't cost anything. And then you can unfreeze it at any time.
Yep.
Okay. And ma'am, do you use this service? Do you use that?
I haven't done it yet, but I plan to do it.
Okay.
Because of the whole thing.
Got it. All right.
I've seen it in a few places, and both places were very specific. You have to say you want to put a freeze on your credit and not lock it.
Okay. Great. Well, that's great advice. Thank you so much for calling in with that. So.
Yeah, you bet.
All right. Have a great one. Take care.
Okay, bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 970-963-2976.
Yeah. So, yeah, my biggest apprehension is that, you know, I mean, calling into any corporation, I mean, you know, my worst nightmare is like You are caller number 6th in line. Your hold time is approximately 12 minutes.
Or 71 hours.
120 minutes. Or yeah. I've had them come back and say 70 hours, you know. So, but, you know, so that, I guess, and that's just me being lazy. You know, I don't want to go through all that. So
it looks like there's, at least for Equifax, it looks like there's an online way to do it.
Okay.
So you can associate your ITIN or Social Security number, which got us in the mess in the first place, and your mobile number, so you can keep track of all that. Mm-hmm. So, but make sure you store all that information.
Got it.
In a safe place.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been kind of curious, kind of along the same vein. You know, I've been getting notifications. Apparently, several of my favorite passwords have gotten, you know, have been in like the Target compromise or the Walmart compromise or, you know, whatever. So I'm one of those people that's getting nasty notifications from Google Chrome and Safari that, hey, you might want to take a look at that password. You might want to do something with that. And being in like pretty much a inherently lazy individual like I am, I haven't yet. So what do you think? I mean, what my rationale for not doing anything about that is that a lot of times when those compromises happen, 10 million pieces of data, user data, get compromised at a time. And so, I mean, what are the odds of, you know, somebody stumbling across or, you know, going ahead and trying to employ using my stolen information to compromise my...
I say the problem is it's getting more and more automated.
Uh-huh.
So they can, you know, that list gets distributed somewhere and, you know, your password of, let's see here.
Rover 123.
Well, I was just going to say QWERTY IOP. Yeah.
Okay.
Top 18.
Wow. I never thought of that one. That's good.
Just all the way across the top.
Yeah. What if you do every other word or every other letter capitalized? I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm digressing.
Okay. Yeah, so basically they get a list of, you know, your username and your username and your password and, or maybe the hash, and then they can recalculate the hash. Anyway, there's some other, there's a bunch of things that happen, but basically that ends up being automated. So they go, I know that, you know, whatever it is, Louie, the computer guy.
Yep.
You know, I know that one. Mm-hmm. I know that I have a good guess of what the password is.
Yeah.
So let's try.
And they can use an automated tool to sniff around the edges of that to try, you know, that password with a dollar sign or an exclamation mark or an at sign or whatever at the end. Okay. Got it.
And I've,
you convinced me. I need to change them.
Yep.
So, good deal.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, just a little heads up. The lady was right about the credit freeze. If you go to USA.gov, it gives you instructions on how to freeze all three credit bureaus.
Awesome. Thank you.
The Experian, yeah, all three of them. It's really straightforward and easy and the best way to make sure nobody else is opening an account in your name.
Good deal. Thank you so much. That's great info.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, appreciate it.
You got it. Have a good afternoon.
One. Yep, you too. All right. GeekSpeak, 970-963-2976. People who know call GeekSpeak at this moment. So that's good stuff. Let's see. Yeah, so, okay, I'll go home and change my passwords.
Yeah, or maybe it's time to do, well, maybe it's time to look at a password manager.
Mm-hmm. So these, like the lists that get stolen, does it have the URL that username and password is associated with? Or in most cases, is it like target.com?
It's going to depend on each breach is going to be unique because everyone's data collection is going to be separate. So it's like,
exactly.
And what part of the system did they get into? And then all those
variables. Wow, phones are ringing off the hook.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey geeks, it's Donna. How are you?
Good, Donna. How you doing?
Pretty good. Oops. Hey, sorry, that was my phone ringing.
I was going to say, do you need to take that?
No. Hey, you know what I was going to call about was about I finally found a YouTube video that talked about adding voice control to the iPhone photo app.
Really? I mean, it's so what is it? I mean, or tell me more. Do tell. So.
Okay. Hold on. I'm telling this person. I'll call you back.
You tell them, I'm on a national radio show. I need to call you back later.
That's right. Yes, exactly.
An international radio show.
That's right. In fact, so here's the steps. Everybody get a piece of paper. Okay. Ready?
Got it.
First of all, you need to go into your settings under accessibility and turn voice control on. That's the first thing that you need to do.
Okay.
To allow your voice to control your iPhone. Okay. Then there's that you'll see a button that says commands in there.
Uh-huh.
You go to commands and then you go to custom, and I hope I didn't miss a step here. Yeah, commands, then custom, then create new command. So when you create this new command, you name it or you put the command, and so you'll type something like cheese or smile or whatever. And then you have to select the application for that command. So you select the application camera. Yeah, check that out. And then there's two things that you have to select there. The first one is you have to select action. Let's see. Yeah, I think the first thing is application camera. Then the second thing you have to select is action run custom gesture.
Okay.
Are you on your phone doing this?
I am, yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, so run custom gesture, and then you tap on your phone where the shutter button is normally located.
Okay.
So you might have to tap it a couple times. I'm not sure if it'll take more than one picture. If you tap on it like three times, it might take three pictures.
Okay.
And you do that kind of in the vicinity, and then you go click on the back button.
Okay.
Hit save.
All right.
And then you go into your camera app and try a little selfie. And then say cheese and see if it'll work.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, I'm not going to do it on the air or anything, but I will. That
try
is
it.
That is super
try
cool.
It.
Yeah.
And then text me. I'm going to try it too after work, but I just wanted to, that was my big news for today. You know,
wow,
I
your big get. That's cool.
That's right.
Darn. I came up with one just the other day, but now I've forgotten it. That's how stellar it is. So
yeah, that's what happens over a certain age.
It sure
you
is.
Forget things. No,
I gotta say though, I really I like the searchability, like in the Apple Settings app now. You know you can really look for things. You don't have to wander through their strange maze of menus and submenus to get to where you think you're supposed to be. You just put it right into the search window and it takes you right to it. And very cool.
So did it sound like my instructions were correct? Were you following along?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, so when you said gesture, like I tried doing the side button, like when it says to install an app, double click on the side button. I tried doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't like that, it didn't take it.
I guess
I need to be able to talk to my phone, I guess, to set it up correctly. So, but
right.
Yes.
And anyway, I think because it's considered, accessibility, right?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
One of the other things I was going to mention, it's funny, this weekend I had gotten a new thermostat for my house, and I thought, it said on the box I could set it up with Alexa, right?
Uh-huh.
So I took, it turned out that my Alexa app had both an old Gmail account and my current me.com account.
Uh-huh.
And so I had like one device on one account, one device on the other, so the controls weren't really working.
Oh.
Anyway, so I don't know how because I have Amazon Prime, it took me a while to get everything actually all in one account, so I can go in and delete the other account on Amazon.
Got it.
So I didn't really realize at the time that you can't. Like I said, can't you just? I said to the Amazon rep, can't you just combine my two email addresses? Can't you combine it into one account? And she said, no, you have to move everything over and then delete the other one. So when you delete the other one, though, you lose your history of if you've ordered things. So I don't know
Got
if
it.
Anybody else is in that situation, but I've been in that situation where I change email addresses and it just it's been a hassle on Amazon.
Oh, I'll tell you, old outdated email addresses is I have had like just huge problems. And I generally, I'm to the point now where I pretty much tell people, don't ever disable an email address. If it's an email address you've been using for any period of time, because I mean, I've like literally, I mean, I can't tell you the links that I've had to go to with some clients where, you know, it happened to be the email address for resetting the password on something really important and they got rid of the email. And it's like literally, you know, 60 days for the tech department to vet that I'm, you know, I've sent in my birth certificate and my utility bills and all this stuff. And they're like, okay, well, maybe you are who you say you are. Maybe we'll let you back in.
I've had to go as far as buy the old domain, set up a mail server with the old email address and then use it to recover.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah, because we got stuck like that where they had an old domain that they let go, and they didn't know that their email address for that old domain was the linchpin for gaining access to one of their, you know, current accounts.
I've done exactly what you're describing. I've done exactly
and so glad that the Cyber Squatter did not buy it up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a key. You know, so here's another crazy one. I had to... they had the recovery number for a Gmail account set to a landline. And so I had to go in, I had to go buy a burner phone, and then I had to port the number from the landline over to the burner so I could receive one text message with the Google reset code. So, I mean, I couldn't think of any other way to get around it, you know? It's right. Like, because they don't have the option. They used to have the option that they would call a phone and you could get a voice, the code by voice, you know? It would say 6-4-3-2-7, you know? They don't do that anymore. Most of them don't. And
is that your password, Louis?
It was.
6-4-2-7, is that your iPhone password?
It was. Until about 5 minutes from now. So, anyway.
What does that spell out on the phone? Tell me what it spells out on the phone.
Yeah. Gurgleable. So, cool.
That's
deal.
Funny.
All right.
Well, anyway.
Well, hey, thanks for calling in, Donna. Appreciate you.
I'm sure.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, how did your show go over the weekend? Fun?
Yes,
it
was a huge...
Did you play at the Glenwood?
We played at the Caverns, and it was a huge success.
Yep.
And... Chris Harmony and Wanda Michelli came up and completely blew the crowd away. And we got up and we all blew the crowd away all together at the end of the night. So it's
good.
Well,
yeah. That sounds great.
I'll send you another video that I think you'll find fun. Because I was like seen on the stage at Two Rivers Park playing a tuba about a week and a half ago. So
that's great.
Yes.
It's
a little known fact about me. So anyway, all
okay,
right.
Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Take care, Donna.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. All right.
Yeah.
963-2976 area code 970. We got a few minutes. We got about 5 minutes to be specific. And so let's see what else. So did you see there? Like, I came across a thing about these high tech glasses that the Olympic swimmers are wearing. Did you see anything about that?
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, unfortunately, it's like a regular video article. I hate that. You know, they need to have, if there's anybody out there running a big major news website, you need to have a...
transcript.
You need to have a transcript of everything, okay? And because not everybody can watch a video and not everybody can hear a video. And I mean, that just really bums me out. And I personally, for some reason, cause I'm a visual learner. And I don't mean visual by watching videos. I learn things by reading things. And so I'm always looking for a transcript, always. And but, yeah, it says testing out smart swim goggles for the Paris Games. And I don't think they allowed them to use them in the competition, but they used them during training. And it has sensors which collect all kinds of information, including compass data. I guess that would be good to make sure you're not going the wrong direction or into your the adjacent lane or whatever. So let's see what else is shaking, Matt.
So an operating system I've had on my laptop for several years at this point, I think pre-COVID even, is coming out with the next version. It's called Pop! OS 24.04. It's currently released in alpha, and they're making a new desktop environment based on a newer programming language called Rust, which does a lot of really cool things. It was created by the Mozilla, makers of Firefox. Mm-hmm. It was actually created for Firefox. It's taken over a lot of other places. So,
is that a Linux-based operating system?
Yes. Yeah.
I find it interesting how that doesn't even get mentioned anymore. That's not at the top of the pyramid anymore. It's just a new operating system.
Well, so I was looking at so Linux has about 4.5% of the market share, depending on where you look. So Windows is like 70%. Mac OS is 15 to 19%. Then Unknown is like 7.5%, and Linux is about 4%, and FreeBSD is about 0.01%.
Got it.
So I might Linux is maybe getting a little too popular. I might have to switch to FreeBSD.
What is BSD of
Berkeley Software Distribution?
Doesn't sound for stand for Blue Screen of Death.
No, actually,
I'm like, wow, you can get a Blue Screen of Death for free. That's awesome. Yeah,
Berkeley Software Distribution. So actually, your Mac is way back in the day, like 10.4, it would say, would you like to install the BSD subsystem? If you wanted the terminal and stuff, so like OS X 10.4, I think, 10.4 to 10.6. Yeah. So your Mac is actually built on top of a version of BSD from the early 2000s.
Got it. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that, but the Mac operating system is actually an adaptation of an adaptation of Unix, actually.
Yeah.
Because Linux was basically a freely available version, a reverse engineered version of Unix, right?
Well, Linux is the kernel. Okay. And then you have the GNU. So you have GNU, which are all the utilities, all the command line tools and stuff. And
is that the correct pronunciation for GNU, GNU?
GNU.
I was always giving it a silent G.
It is supposed to. Yeah, they go back and forth.
Okay.
It's kind of like Worcestershire or Worcestershire or whatever.
I came across an internet meme. It basically said something about this. They were the best of shires and the worst of shires.
Yeah.
Or Worcestershires. So, anyway. Well, you know, I don't know if I ever told you the story about my first foray into Linux. Did I ever tell you about that?
It's been a while.
Okay. So it was basically somebody told me about it, and I went and I downloaded the 24 floppy disks. Because it was in basically...
Right.
24 1.5 meg disk images. I downloaded them all, and I went and bought two boxes of floppy disks or whatever it took to do that. And then I used the utility in the DOS prompt called raw write, which basically basically takes that
file,
that disk image, and it writes the floppy disks sector by sector with them, and then everything. And then I had shut my machine down, put a different hard drive in it because I didn't want to overwrite my, and we didn't have partitioning. Well, I had 160 meg hard drive, so it's kind of hard to say. I think I'm going to take 40 of that for Linux.
Sure.
Right. So anyway, so I put a different hard drive in there and I started installing Linux on it.
Oh, you had a bad disk, right?
I got to disk number 12 and it failed. And so I pretty much had to start all over again. I had to go back and put the old hard drive back in my computer. I had to go download, whatever, disk number 12 again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I basically did it. And then disk number 16 failed. So, and at this point, it had turned into a full blown, I was like that guy on Close Encounters of the, building the mountain in his living room. I would become, it was like that. And I called it, obsessed. I actually renamed it Jumanji. That was, have you seen Jumanji?
Yes.
Okay. So it had gone to that level. And so I've been a little bit, once I detoxed from all that, I've been a little bit hesitant to get back into the Linux thing because there were threats of sending me to rehab and stuff. So not that I didn't need to go to rehab, don't get me wrong. But anyway. So I'm hoping that maybe I can try it again, and this time it'll be different, and I'll do it responsibly.
I mean, you're using Chromebook. That's based on Gen 2.
Yeah.
Gen 2 Linux is the base for Chrome OS.
Got it. How did penguins get into it anyway in the first place? I mean, what's the whole thing?
Yeah, I'd have to go look into that one. I don't remember the the why the penguin is so prevalent?
Well, I think it's a play on words.
Probably.
Generation 2, like Gen 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, except they spelled like a penguin.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Well, anyway, listeners, I will embark on that adventure, and I'll be back to report.
What's
the coolest version of Linux? Like, you know, if I'm just going to go all in on Linux on one of my computers, which one should I do?
So, I guess the ones I would try would be Ubuntu, Pop OS, which is made in Denver.
Okay.
And I've been on Pop OS
so
for
like locally sourced. Right?
Yeah, it's being developed in Denver
Farm to table.
Yep. So that's what I've been doing. I've run Debian for many different things, mainly mm-hmm. on server, but it's the most generic, like the universal operating system. It's designed to be a good desktop, be a good server, mm-hmm. be good at doing a lot of different things.
Okay.
Got it. And then the other popular one I would say is Fedora, which is part of Red Hat.
Okay.
So
all right. I've already worn the Fedora, so that's
I still call it Fedora Core every once in a while because I started using it on version 1 when it came out in the early 2000s.
Awesome. Okay, well, I'm going to go for Pop because it's local. And
try
I'll
Pop.
I'll get back to you. I'll let you know.
All right. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk. We will be back on the 2nd of September.
Wow. Let's see. Am I going to be around on the 2nd of September? I think I am.
All right.
Wait, no, that's Labor Day, dude.
All right. We might be out of town.
Yeah.
So. We'll be back
the 16th. We'll probably take the second off. We'll be back the 16th of September. In the meantime, don't touch your knob.